We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. It's all Pelicans, all the time. And welcome to the podcast. We are going to dig into the Northwest Division this time around, but we do have two very important pieces of Pelicans news that we haven't talked about yet before on this podcast. Some of it's actually been out there for quite some time, so it's probably not any news to you. We're just going to give you our take on it. So very first thing, I have brought on Mr. Graham McCrean to talk about the stuff. Graham, how you doing?
Doing okay. Doing all right.
Yeah, we'll be doing all right until we start talking about the first item on this, and then we'll probably dissolve into tears.
Yeah.
So, the news is Jrue Holiday will be out indefinitely. We don't have any idea how long he'll be out. He could be out 2 weeks. He could be out 2 months. He could be out the entire season. His wife is pregnant. She's having a baby. And they discovered during her pregnancy, she also has a benign brain tumor that requires surgery. Mm-hmm. So she will be induced. The baby will be born. Then they will do surgery on her brain. Mm-hmm. And then they have a brand new infant baby and someone recovering from brain surgery. And Jrue will be staying at home as he should be, taking care of both the situations.
Yes.
That's like, I remember there was a great story and I can't remember who told it. I'm pretty sure it was Rick Adelman, but it might have been Jeff Van Gundy, where Tracy McGrady had a baby. And that entire season, he couldn't get any sleep, and he was in terrible – it was his worst season as a Rocket before the injuries hit. And so Jrue Holiday has already got the brand-new baby, and I've had a brand-new baby myself 3 times. I know how little sleep I get. I cannot imagine compounding that with all the worries that go around a surgery of that sort. So
it's really hard to put into words, you know.
Eh. Yeah.
It's this, and you know, it's not about the organization or anything, you know, the focus should be on them and well, you know, them doing whatever they need to do. But it just sucks that since changing to the Pelicans, that this organization has literally been surrounded by tragedy, you know, like not like things that are just, you can't and shouldn't focus on basketball. And it sucks. It just really sucks.
Yep, there's Ryan Anderson, Bryce DeJean Jones, now Jrue Holiday. Oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about this anymore. Right. But we will talk about, at least for a little bit, the basketball impact.
Yes.
So in your world, if Jrue Holiday and Anthony Davis were on the floor with, for most of the season, the majority of the guys other than Tyreke Evans that were signed this season. So they were going to get 70 games plus out of Hill, Moore, Hield, Ashik, Ajinsa, like all of these guys. You could see, like, best case scenario, high 40s, probably like a 40-win team maybe, right?
Yeah, and then I was doing, you know, before this news broke, I was digging a lot into the kind of impact and play Holiday could have, you know, because he and Davis are really, or were really going to be the, like, only guys who could create on offense. And, you know, we've talked about it, Pelicans fans talk about it, about how good Holiday season was last year. He did get mentions for like sixth man of the year, even though, you know, he ended up starting 20, whatever, however many games it was. But he had a really good year last year, and I'll probably put something up as we get closer to the season and training camp starting and all that. But he had a really good year, probably a career year. You look at his numbers, you know, they compare pretty well to all-stars and fringe all-stars and top 10 point guards around the league. But not only that, there's like clear areas he could have improved. Like he had a career low year shooting from three. Even though he had a really efficient year driving, he didn't, there were his shot like across the board, like he wasn't shooting as well. Like, so a couple like a career year with clear areas you can improve, you know, he could have been gearing up for something, you know, really special this year, and he still could, you know, who knows, but like the, you know, oh gosh, I just hope he can come back as soon as possible. Cause I think Alvin Gentry said at the beginning of last season, sometime in the preseason, like he really thought Holiday had like another jump in his play that he could make. And, you know, he's not wrong. So
yeah, you
get him playing at that type of level. You get Davis, even if you get the Davis of last year where it was a quote unquote down year or whatever, you know, you get that Davis, you get an improved Holiday for 70 games. You know, there's no reason you should be in, you shouldn't be in the 40 high, mid high, somewhere in the 40s wins. So, yeah.
Yeah. If you take a look at historically the year most point guards have their prime statistical season, the best statistical season, the majority have them at age 25.
Mm.
So this is the year for Jrue. And so, but here's the question. I mean, it's not out of the possibility. He doesn't play even this year at all. I got to say that it is possible. We do not see Jrue this year. Without Jrue, is this team a playoff team?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Well, I mean, no, I don't see
okay.
it. I'm trying to think of any way we could possibly. You know, maybe if Buddy Hield, like, somehow managed to be more than just, like, even if he won Rookie of the Year, but also was, like, I don't know, like so ready for the league. Like, Damian Lillard-type league, like, year where he got into the league and was just ready for NBA basketball and just stepped in and was, like, you know, 40% from three, whatever. But that's really hard to see, so I would say no.
Okay. Well, here's probably what the Pelicans are thinking. We were going to have the ball in Jrue Holiday's hands nonstop all the time, every second of every minute, except for when he was throwing it to Anthony Davis and Davis was scoring. Mm-hmm. So when they got this news about Jrue, even though they have a full set of contracts,
mm-hmm.
Guaranteed contracts, they went out and they gave Lance Stephenson, which we did mention very briefly that I thought it was kind of a joke that Lance Stephenson was being brought in for a workout. Well, now we know the reason why he's being brought in for a workout. It's because the Pelicans know they're going to have a shortage at point guard.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lance Stephenson, Pelicans starting point guard. Does that give you good feeling?
No.
No?
No. How did this happen?
Born ready once, you know, was racking up triple doubles.
For what?
Indiana, they had trouble. He had triple doubles.
He had like 30. He dropped like 30 on us, I think.
Yeah. Thorne Reddy.
It could be.
He had 100 points in high school.
Good news about this is it'll be entertaining if he plays. If he makes the team, it'll be really entertaining.
So, first off, we need to talk about, you know, the team. Like I said, there's 15 guaranteed contracts on this team.
Right.
So,
well, Lance is guaranteed for 100K, so call, you know, right, whatever that is, that's guaranteed, if you want to call it that. But it's real.
Yeah, but his salary is just the league minimum.
Yeah.
So, if he makes it on the team, if he doesn't make it on the team, like the financial repercussions are pretty much nil for the Pelicans at this point, unless they cut somebody who is guaranteed more than the league minimum.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know, the teams only pay like for the league minimum. They only pay like $500,000 or $600,000,
yeah,
and there's a fund that the league pays for the rest of the league minimum money. That way, veterans who make $1.2 million aren't discriminated against in favor of veteran or minimums that only make $600,000, mm-hmm, like the young guys. That was just one of the fun things I saw when I was going through the CBA. And no one probably cares at all about that. So I'll just shut up.
That was kind of interesting because I saw the other day it's like 60% of NBA players are broke after 5 years or something like that. So
yeah, Darius Miles, yeah, completely bankrupt.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyways, Lance Stephenson. So I tell you right now, Lance Stephenson is starting, or he's on the roster when the games start at the end of October. Who is on the street? Because they have to cut one of these guys. Is it really that hard for you?
Kind of.
Like you don't have like a guy that's like right there, like that guy goes.
No, probably Alonzo Gene.
Okay.
Because we had a podcast. It was you, me, and Nick at the end of last season, and all I did the entire podcast was throw out how little he did. He was like the second least pass two player in the league, even though he was like second in the team in total minutes. Yep. Yeah, so.
He had a lot of minutes.
He had a lot of minutes doing.
He did a lot of stuff. He probably ran a lot.
Yeah, he ran around in circles a lot. That's about it. Yeah.
So let me tell you. Let's say Alonzo G comes into camp and he has discovered a three-point shot.
No, I still cut him. Get him out of here.
Okay. So now let's talk the actual. What do you think the team will do if they decide they want to keep Lance Stephenson? Because essentially they're looking for a creator, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. Is it you think Alonzo G is the most likely that the coaches will be looking at, or do you think the coach might look somewhere else? Any chance it's Diallo?
Ooh.
No one's mentioned Diallo, he's a second rounder. Like this is.
Well, everyone loved him from his play, mm-hmm, in the summer league, right?
They do.
Yeah. So. No, it's got to be Alonzo because if you're looking towards the future, mm-hmm, there's. I mean, I would put Diallo more in the conversation for the future more than, mm-hmm, Alonzo G. So it's got to be G. I'm going through the list in my head and on my computer screen, and it really. No one else stands out to me that they would. I mean, you got to keep the guard depth. I mean, what if, like, you know, who knows where Quincy's at? Who knows if he returns to form? You got to keep Langston and Moore and Frazier's like the only real point guard on the roster now. And Biggs. I mean, no one else is really the money. I mean, like, if I had to choose, like, if it just take the money out of it, I would want Ajinka gone. Just I'm tired of him.
Okay.
I don't think he can develop into anything more than he is, and no one really needs a big man who can only shoot mid-range jumpers and foul.
He dunks like once or twice a season.
Some of his dunks are very nice. Sometimes
they're forceful.
He knows how long his arm is, and it's like he's at full stretch. When he's at full stretch, it's very impressive. That's about it. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
But.
So your real preference would be they find a taker for Ajinka somewhere in the league, ship him out, and let Stephenson have that spot.
Yeah, I'd say that. Yeah.
Who's the backup center then in that situation?
Davis.
Davis.
Only Davis. Just play.
Who's the third string then? Is it Diallo?
Davis.
So even though we know that.
No, so then you get a big man. So you start Davis next to Oshik. Then move Davis over to center. Play Dante or Hill and Terrence Jones. And that's enough. That's enough big men. You got. Yeah. You would have to play Dante more. I know how you feel about Dante.
No, Terrence Jones. Got to play Terrence
Okay,
Jones.
Okay, fine. Play Terrence Jones.
So I'm going to tell you right now, if you say the words, you need to play Dante, I will have a counter.
You are not – I'm serious. You're not intrigued by, like, a small ball, Dante at the four, Hill at the three. They can switch three and four.
No.
No, okay.
No.
I'm looking at this. I find it very intriguing.
I am completely and utterly done with Dante Cunningham.
Okay.
I don't want to see him play any minutes at all. I know he'll play. I don't want to see him play. Like,
he's definitely going to play.
He's an energy guy, and I usually like energy guys. For some reason, I can't get behind Dante. Sorry, Dante.
That's okay. He was, like, the fourth least pass two person last year, so. Slightly better than Alonzo G.
And he probably had the second most minutes on the team.
He did.
it's crazy. All right, so the reason why they're bringing Lance Stephenson, and they worked him out and so on, is Lance does at least have a history of being a ball handler, an initiator.
He does have a history of handling the ball. That is true.
Right. Yeah. So if I told you he was a poor man Tyreek Evans, you like that comparison?
I do, actually. I was thinking about this the other day, like looking back when we first signed Tyreek, there was the whole Manu Ginobili role where he's off the bench as like a creative ball handler off the bench. And I think in some world, you know, if Lance somehow is not like Charlotte Lance, but more of Indiana and Memphis Lance. Mm-hmm. But even if you look at his numbers when he was on the Clippers, I know it didn't work out there and like he couldn't play defense there, but like he shot what, like his numbers are okay. Like, I think he could fit that role better than Tyreek. They have a lot of the same flaws where they're out of control, dominate the ball too much, make poor decisions, whatever. You know, they have a lot of the same flaws.
So do you know who you're describing?
Who?
The anti-Manu Ginobili.
Yes, I know.
So maybe the Manu Ginobili role is
ball
not.
Handler role.
Because Manu Ginobili is a genius ball handler who makes all the right decisions and hits 3-point shots and plays hard nosed defense and yeah, he's smart.
Well, I just think could possibly be better than Tyreek trying to be Manu than Tyreek is, because I think like in a general sense he can play faster. It's like, oh my god.
Okay.
I don't know. So, it's, but like, can't you envision this? Like, in a, like, think back to that year. Like, Tyreek is coming off the bench. He's playing the 20 whatever minutes per game. Switch that with Lance. You don't think Lance could possibly be better at that than Tyreek? Even like, if you're just putting like their best against each other.
No.
Okay, I give up then.
No, I don't. I don't. It's not like I think Tyreek's like 40% better at it or way better. Like, I think Tyreek has a lot of the same flaws and there's a lot of the same benefits that both these guys have.
Yeah.
And I think they both have the same basketball IQ. And I think if all you're looking for is a stopgap to act as maybe a second ball handler on this team here and there, Lance, you could do worse than Lance Stephenson. I'm still putting the ball in Tim Frazier's hands and saying, you know, whatever, Lance, you're off the bench as the initiator from that team, and that's only if I decide that I don't want Etuan Moore or Galloway doing it.
Well, they're in such a difficult situation where we need to not focus on winning and more on, like, you know, evaluation, developing, et cetera, like, what we need to address, who fits, who doesn't, can we finally establish the way we want to play, defense, et cetera, et cetera. But at the same time, we need to put a winning team out there. We really need to put a winning team out there with Davis and our timeline and all that. So it's a they're in such a difficult spot where if they just put the ball in Tim Frazier's hands, like Tim Frazier's probably not going to be as good as he was for those 20 odd games he was last year. It's
how dare you?
Oh, he's like 60 something percent.
How dare you? You saying a guy who has a career like 32% from three isn't going to shoot 40% from three again?
No, Norris Cole did it, right? He followed. Followed a great 2014-15 performance with us with a great year last year, right?
So I think I'm going to have to cut you off right there, because if you just compared Tim Frazier to Norris Cole.
Not them as players, just their performance where they came in the second half of the season and played really well for like a couple games.
Not them as players, just how they play on the court.
Yeah.
All right, so this is my take on Lance Stephenson. I don't want him on the team.
I don't either. I will agree with that.
I'll honestly bring him in, try him out, whatever. I would prefer to go into camp with Alonzo G and Dante Cunningham on this roster than have Lance Stephenson on the team.
That's surprising.
And the primary reason why is there's a lot of stuff people will say about how Lance Stephenson can be a skilled initiator. If you go look at his number this year, or not this year, but last year and the year before, Lance Stephenson was no better than Langston Galloway and Etuan Moore.
Well, that's two extremes. Like for Charlotte, he was just like piss poor. Like
he was just
awful.
Poor.
And then Memphis, they literally just were—they were so depleted. They their coach even said it. We're just going to give Lance the ball and get out of the way, and he did his thing. So,
and he was okay, but like Etuan Moore and Langston Galloway, neither of them were world beaters offensively. You can go back and look at my post I did when both of them were signed.
Right.
They were basically league average, a little below league average, as far as pick and roll handlers and stuff.
Yeah.
Lance Stephenson is in the same boat.
Yeah.
So if what you're really trying to do is build a team that's going to play hard-nosed defensive and work for things and try to, you know, build that identity, well, Lance doesn't fit that. So just bring in Langston and Etuan Moore and Buddy Hield and Tim Frazier and roll.
Yeah. They're going to – this will be interesting because they're going to have to put the ball in Buddy's hands a lot, I think. You know, people like – Moore and Frazier, but I think they're going to have to really see what they have in Buddy. I think they're going to put the ball in his hands to start the season a little bit, just to see what he could do. And
is that bad?
It could help with his development. I don't think it'll help us win games, but like I said, who know? Everyone's just kind of. I think this is a good thing that we've like tempered expectations for Buddy. You know, I don't think anybody's throwing things out there that he's going to be something he isn't, but. He could be good. You know, he could have a good rookie year. We have no idea. You know, I think he'll obviously like most rookies, he will have like some kind of transition. That's he'll go through rough patches and et cetera. But to what extent who knows? Personally, I think he will struggle, but he could be good. He could win rookie of the year. There's odds on that.
Yes.
There
are odds on a lot of things that don't happen.
He has a possibility of winning that award.
There are also odds that the Pelicans will win a championship.
That literally could happen.
it might take a series of plane crashes, but
it could happen. I'm not gonna rule it out. No, but like I think it'll be a good thing for him. I don't know if it'll help us win games, but I think it'll be good. That we off the bat can kind of get that. The more questions we can answer about this team this season, the better, you know? So.
You know how many seasons we've been saying that, though?
A lot. And we haven't gotten any answers. So this is a real, we need to get some answers. We need to know some things about this team. For the love of God, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Holiday, since he's been here, has only played half of every season.
Yeah.
And it's still going to happen, but.
It still burns me that three seasons with Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, Anthony Davis, Tyreek Evans, and Jrue Holiday on the squad all together, they played 3% of the available minutes together.
I know. You just can't do anything about that.
3%. Anyways, let's not even talk about this anymore. Let's move on to our next Northwest Division.
Getting off.
I hope. And I'm sorry, anybody who's really excited about Lance and thinking Lance will come in and be the boy.
It'll be exciting if he comes in and plays. It might not be exciting for Pelicans fans.
Maybe. Well, some people might like it.
Oh yeah.
Like he like at his worst, he's pretty awful.
How many people
at his best, he's not bad. Yeah. So,
how many people? You know, real quick before we move on, how many people do you think? Like, what percent of Pelicans fans are already hopping on like the tank wagon? I've already seen it out there.
To actually full on tank for a pick?
Yep.
I think only the ones who already delight in doing that in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're probably sitting at around 10-15%. There are always 10-15% of the people you meet delight in other people's misery.
That's true.
So if you're one of those people and you're listening to this podcast, I just insulted you. And I delight in your misery.
All right.
This has gotten dark. Let's move on to the Northwest Division. All right. So there's five teams in the Northwest Division. This is my all-hatred division. I'll be completely, completely blunt. There's only one team of these five teams that I look at and say, I could watch them. And all the other ones, it's more like, if I have to, and I hate every minute of it, and I'll root for the other team. So, the five teams. Denver Nuggets. Minnesota Timberwolves. The Oklahoma City Thunder. The Portland Trailblazers. And the Utah Jazz. So, we're going to start with the Denver Nuggets. And the special of today is the reason why I hate the Denver Nuggets. It is the game that shall not be named.
Mm-hmm.
And I have just like this really evil, unpleasant, scared child core deep inside my soul where when other teams seem to be doing something better than my team.
Screw that team. Seriously.
So Denver right now seems to be rebuilding their team kind of the right way. They've been bringing in a bunch of young guys, picking up guys on the cheap, trading down in the draft and somehow picking up gems in the draft. They got all kinds of credit for drafting Jamal Murray this season. We drafted Buddy Hield, and a lot of people are like, yeah, Jamal Murray should have gone to the Pelicans. Pelicans are stupid.
I hate that because it's like, well, we should have been planning for the future, and Murray is younger, and that's like just some arbitrary thing that's better.
Well, it's not arbitrary.
But it's like he's younger, so that would have been a better pick.
That's true. Well, honestly, to be fair, if you do projections of players who do as well as he did at 19,
we're talking
compared
one
to what
specific, like it's one 19-year-old, like it's we're not looking at like a whole thing. Like 19-year-olds are better to draft than we're looking at Jamal Murray versus Buddy Hield. Like it's
so when Jamal Murray turns into a star, I'll bring this up and point out that you were a hater and you didn't believe in Jamal Murray.
I don't believe in Jamal Murray. Screw the Nuggets.
Excellent.
When I was I'm gonna throw this out there. This is the reason I know my family hated the Denver Nuggets because my mom hated the Denver Nuggets, and it's really a stupid, funny reason. But I just want to throw it out there because I love you, Mom. But she really hated them because they were like an all tattoo team because they had that one year they had J.R. Smith, they had Birdman, they had Kenyon Martin.
And Iverson
and Mel, and they were just like the most tatted up team in the league, and my mom despised them. So there
that's an excellent reason.
That's why my family hated them. Well, I was indifferent, but then the game that shall be not named, that shall not be named, happened. So
that was terrible.
That was a rough time in my life.
I just can still picture George Karl standing at midcourt with this like glow on. Oh, anyways. So, what they actually did this offseason. Let's talk about the team. It's the players. It's not about our feelings. They basically let go King Joffrey Laverne, mm-hmm. who played 60 games, started a handful for them.
Mm-hmm.
Energy center. They let DJ Augustin go. Randy Foy.
Mm-hmm.
Costa Papanikolaou, who always had the best name. Mm-hmm. Almost all of these guys played some limited role for them. They weren't obviously part of the future.
No.
So they basically let all those guys walk and filled in with a bunch of more young guys.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully for them, at least I think they hope, some returning vets. So Wilson Chandler, who missed all of last season and part of the season before, he is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
They hope that for the first time in the history of his entire basketball career, Danilo Gallinari will not get injured this year.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with that.
Unlikely.
No.
Yeah, he's basically Eric Gordon, a 6'10" Eric Gordon, no, except he's good at basketball.
Yeah, he's good at basketball, and he could draw fouls.
That's right. I just meant the injury part.
Oh, yes.
And Yusuf Nurkic, who was their prized rookie from two seasons ago, who put up all kinds of crazy PER stats and efficiency stats, and the world was crazy about him, came back. He was still kind of struggling from his injuries, never really got into a flow. So he had a kind of poor season last year. Mm-hmm. They're hoping he comes back. And they combine with possibly the most unknown stat king in the league. Nikola Jokic. I'm probably saying that wrong.
It sounds Jokic. Right.
Jokic.
I think it's Jokic.
Anyway, Jokic. He basically, RPM loves him. PER loves him. Everybody loves
basically
him.
Basically, because of him, RPM has them being like a playoff team.
Yes.
Because his advanced stats are that good.
So, and they also brought in Juancho Hernan Gomez, who's actually a very good player in Spain last year. And they still return Will Barton and Kenneth Faried and Emmanuel Mudiay, who had a really terrible season last year. They brought back Jameer Nelson to continue to mentor him. There's a lot of guys on this team. I think this is the weirdest team in the league, because to me, there's a lot of guys on this team who if they were on my squad, I'd be like, I'm happy about that guy being on my squad. I'm happy about that guy being on my squad.
Well, they're going to have to figure it out, because a lot of these guys are redundant. Like, they got Nurkic and Jokic. I don't think they could play together.
Nope.
They're both centers, both really young. You got Danilo Gallinari and Wilson Chandler, both at small forward. Mm-hmm. And Faried, where does he fit? He's like 6'8", you know, he's that weird tweener thing, and he's a bad tweener, not the good tweener.
They've got young Gary Harris, who they hope is going to continue to develop.
I like
that. And they also have Will Barton.
Yep.
And Mudiay, and now Jamal Murray. They've got a pretty crowded backcourt. They have, and I forgot to mention, they did sign, at least for camp, Jarnell Stokes, who everybody remembers last year. The Pelicans let him go, which completely destroyed their entire season. So
that was the turning point in the season, yes.
Again, the Denver Nuggets are doing what the Pelicans should be doing.
Yes, that's exactly.
Definitely what they even have Nate Walters as a camp invite.
They've got it figured out.
They've got Nate Walters as a camp invite, the guy the Pelicans had for a couple games. And then
I'm gonna look this up right now. I really want to know Nate Walters. I'm gonna look at his page.
What are you looking up? He's
25. Oh, another young guy. We should have signed
that's
him.
Right.
He's young.
That's right.
We screwed up. We didn't sign young. He's young.
So the Denver Nuggets, they're a young, up-and-coming team. They've got a whole lot of possibilities and options. They could probably put together a really attractive trade package for anybody who does become available. Because
mm-hmm.
you could put, you know, Faried or Gallinari or Wilson Chandler as the big money piece and slot Will Barton in there as the attractive, young, cheap piece. Or even Jamal Murray or Gary Harris. Or, like, they just have... You could put Nurkic in there if you'd go with Jokic as your actual opportunity. They have a bunch of riches.
Yes.
And right now they're at the point where none of those riches have become ordinary.
No.
So people look at them and say, that's hot. I want
that.
They
could be something.
Right.
But they're not something yet.
So Denver, it'll be very interesting to see if they turn that into something, or if all these guys just develop. Maybe they turn all into they hit it rich on all of them, and they turn into a powerhouse team, or some of them become good and some of them become not so good, and they just kind of sit in the middle because they don't have any superstar. Do you see? Is there any chance Mudiay becomes a superstar now in your mind? He's 20 years old, so I expect him to be able to make a completely accurate prediction based on one season of NBA basketball from a 20-year-old.
He will be okay.
Okay.
I don't know. He did struggle a lot, but they had a lot of injuries. He's like a driving kick guy, and they didn't have anybody.
He shot 36.4% from the floor.
Well, he didn't have anybody to pass to, so that's clearly why he shot so poorly, all right? No, I don't know. I think he'll be all right. He had a really tough year, but 19 years old without a lot of help for a lot of the season. Well, if so, I had to say, I didn't think he would really – I mean, he's not going to, like, fall out of the league or anything like that, but I don't think he's going to be an all-star or anything like that.
Yeah.
But they do – like you said, I mean, if he doesn't work out, you know, he's still, like, a young piece they could move with if one of their other pieces do work out. So
yeah.
They're in a good spot.
Yeah. He shot 36%. You know, Austin Rivers shot 37%.
That's
as a rookie.
Well, I mean, but Austin had the worst rookie season in NBA history.
Well, that's because Austin Rivers didn't rebound or pass or steal or block
or shoot pass shooters or
yeah. Or do anything. Anyways, this isn't about Austin. That's a different team. All right, so now here's the fun question for you. We did this last time. On the Denver Nuggets.
Okay.
Who is their second highest paid player?
Oh, second highest. God, I know the highest is Gallinari. Why did you second?
Well, Gallinari is obvious.
Let's see. Who's not a rookie? Who's not on a rookie contract? Let's see. Who's not on a rookie contract? It's not going to be Jarrell Arthur. It's not going to be DJ Augustine. It's got to be Fareed or... Well, obviously, it's got to be Chandler or Fareed.
And they just signed Mike Miller as a veteran president.
No, it's not Mike Miller. I got to say Fareed.
It's Fareed. All right.
Yeah.
It's actually easier than some of these are.
Yeah, that one is actually, that wasn't as hard as I thought it would be.
Although Wilson Chandler is only 800,000 behind him. So, yeah. But it is Gallinari. They are the highest paid players, Gallinari, then Fareed, then Chandler. Fareed, as always, seems to be on the trade market. It feels like Fareed has been in the league forever. Do you realize he's only 26?
He was on the USA team for a while.
Yeah. He was on it when Davis was there.
Yeah, that's right.
He actually won, like, I think, second team for in the tournament. So
would he... Now, like, you could just say, like, oh, we want to bring him off the bench. But is he, like... I don't know how he is as like a ego.
Oh, he has apparently got a monstrous ego.
Great. Yeah, so I wouldn't really want him.
Yeah.
He's got a place in the league. He's good, like, clearly, but I don't think he would. I wouldn't want him if they tried to get him to us.
I don't see how he fits with Davis.
No.
So. All right, so here you go. 33 wins last year from this team. They shed a bunch of non-important people. They kept most of the people who contributed, and they brought in a few more guys. What kind of wins are you giving them?
40?
You're giving them 40?
38 to 40. Like 40 being the high point, like 500 being their ceiling.
Okay.
Yeah.
37.
I don't think they might – at some point, like, they might have a very balanced roster, but at some point you need, like, a star player, you know? They don't really have one. Gallinari might be that guy if he stays in the court, but I don't think he really is that guy. He never really got the chance to develop into that guy. He's still really good, but I don't see them winning more than – or being more than 500.
So, yeah, I'm giving them 37 wins. My reasoning is – they still have no real guard play.
Yeah.
Like, you could say they have Gary Harris and Jamal Murray and Emmanuel Mudiay and Jameer Nelson, and that sounds like a – and even Will Barton, because technically I think Will Barton's more of a shooting guard.
I think Will Barton's he's the best one out of those right now, but those guys have a good way to go.
Like, Jameer Nelson, he's 34 years old now.
Yeah, he's
– he'll probably still kill the Pelicans because that's what he does to the Pelicans.
Yeah.
But he's on the wrong side of that curve for a small point guard who you know is just not that good at getting into the paint anymore. And Murray's not ready. Like as much as anyone said, he's not ready. Like and Moutier is still not ready. And so that
Gary Harris is a good piece, but he's still got some developing to do himself. So
right, and he's not a lead guard either, like in any shape or form.
Yeah.
So it's Barton who's going to have to do a lot of the creation for this team. I don't know if he's. I mean, he's good. He's not a bad player. I just don't know if he's that level.
Right.
So I think they still have a lot of problems with their guard play and their front line. As good as they are offensively, like Jokic and Nurkic and Hernan Gomez and Fareed, they're all going to be good offensive big men. They're going to be abysmal defensively.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Though apparently Jokic, RPM, thinks he's an amazing defender. So I need to actually watch him.
And here's he's like, he's not slow, but he's like a lumbering big man who's not a great rim protector. So even though like the advanced stats might like him, I'm not sold on that.
So, you know, lumbering and slow? Like, lumbering is, like, worse than slow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know. That's subjective. All right. Either way, he's not, like, the most athletic big guy. I don't know. He's not, like, going to anchor a good defense, basically. That's what I mean.
So that's Denver Nuggets, everybody. We're going to move on now to the Minnesota Timberwolves, who 3-4 years ago, I would have been – they would have been the one team – I didn't dislike in this division. I'll to be fair, I never hated the Thunder ever in any situation. But the Timberwolves have now stolen my Thunder. Karl Anthony Towns, he's so up and coming. You know, Zach LaVine and Andrew Wiggins, amazing, amazing, amazing. Chris Dunn's now on the team, so this is the toast of the town.
Screw them.
Exactly. Exactly right.
Jerks.
I agree 100%. Oh. So anyways, what they actually did this offseason is they did go out and they drafted Chris Dunn, who a lot of people wanted him for the Pelicans, but of course he wasn't available at the time, so not really any point in talking about it. They basically, Pekovic is gone. I think he might actually still be on the roster, but I don't know if many people realize this. Pekovic had a horrible Achilles injury, and they went in and literally removed for part of his tendon. Like 50% of the tendon is gone for like 2 inches of his leg. And if you're a 7 foot tall man who weighs probably 300 pounds, not having an Achilles, most of your Achilles tendon there, and you're running around, it's probably not a good idea.
Nah, he's fine. If you don't have one, you can't tear it. No, he's under contract for this and next year. I just looked it up. Okay.
Yeah, but I believe that he is basically retiring. Sorry. Although I don't think he's officially saying he retires, because if he says he retires, he doesn't get to collect all that money. So it's going to be one of those injury retirements. He misses the minutes, and then the insurance will pick it up for 80% of his cost. But they did let go Andre Miller, who's now 40 years old. And Kevin Garnett has still not decided if he's going to play or not. Tayshaun Prince, they finally let the Prince go. Mm-hmm. And Damjan Rudez is no longer with the team. So, and to replace that, they basically brought in Chris Dunn, Cole Aldrich, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Tyus Jones, they drafted him as well.
Yeah.
So, the starting lineup is Ricky Rubio, Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, and Gorgui Dieng.
Yes.
The backups are Chris Dunn, Brandon Rush, Shabazz Muhammad, Nemanja Jelica, Cole Aldrich. Somehow Garnett's going to fill in there, possibly. Tyus is going to fill in there. But that's essentially a team. They have Brandon Rush. They brought him in as well. Like here's the thing I want to just mention. I understand the excitement around this team.
Yeah.
Like, Wiggins and LaVine, and Rubio is still one of my favorite people to watch play basketball. Like, there's a lot of cool things here. But on what planet does a team that has backups of Chris Dunn, rookie point guard, Brandon Rush, Shabazz Muhammad, Nemanja Bjelica, and Cole Aldrich be a team that is going to possibly be pushing 50 wins, which is what people are trying to claim for this
50
team.
50 is just way too high. Like, they're going to be good. They're not going to win 50 games like that.
Even if Karl Anthony Towns does pull off the Anthony Davis and actually reaches a PER similar to what Davis managed in his third season,
yeah,
which isn't likely, but even if he does. So Zach LaVine, who's turning into a decent player, but Rubio and Wiggins still can't really shoot.
Wiggins is the one for me who really needs to jump. Like, because right now, he's kind of just, right now, he's just kind of a volume scorer. Who can't
really he's Rudy Gay right now.
Yeah, a little bit. Not to the, like, extent that people criticize Rudy Gay, but he's getting there. You know, he does draw fouls pretty well. Like, he scores pretty efficiently, but it's,
you know, he shoots 30% from three.
Yeah, he needs to step up.
And he doesn't really rebound. So a guy with his athletic gifts, and he, in 35 minutes a game, he manages 3.6 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
Like, that is
6'8", you got to, yeah.
That's Eric Gordon level. Yeah. Like, that is what Eric Gordon did.
God.
And he gets not even a steal and half a block a game. Like, this is the reality of Andrew Wiggins that people don't realize. He scores okay. He's become a pretty solid scorer because of his free throws.
Yes.
But he's not a great shooter, and he doesn't contribute anywhere else. So, and I know Thibodeau's going to come in and make the world good defensively. I 100% believe he's going to make this team good defensively. But I still can't look at this team and expect any sort of real offense out of them.
I can't, no. I think the defense even, too, like, he's going to help with the defense, but Thibodeau, his entire time as a head coach, played two bigs, and outside of Towns, like Jank, Gorgie's okay, but yeah, like, what are you going to do, play Garnett or Cole Aldrich? I don't know. They might have a pretty good defense, but the offense is going to struggle as well because there's just not enough shooters, and then the shooters who do play, like Zach LaVine, like, he's gives up a lot on defense, and then the rest are just rookie or young. Like, yeah, there's no way this team wins 50 games. I think that, don't get me wrong, they're going to be very competitive and fun to watch. You know, I want to watch this team, but I don't see that.
So, then here's the question for you.
Okay.
How many wins are you giving them this year?
It's really hard. I hate projections. I hate this stuff. Like, they won. It's hard to imagine them jumping. So, like, if people are saying 50, that's like an increase of 21 wins. That's ridiculous. Like, and I think they could win 40, 41, 45. Like, I think they will fight for the playoffs. I'm not sure they will make the playoffs, but 38 to 44 range. That's a kind of big range, but that's what I'd put them in. I just don't see them. Like, I think they could make a jump of 10 wins, but not 20. You know? Yeah.
So, although I love Zach LaVine, I 100% believe this team is not winning more than 35 games.
Really?
This year. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I cannot see an offensive juggernaut coming out of this team. And so let's say, like, even average offense coming out of this team. Like, they have lost some pretty major pieces to their offense. Like, unbelievably, Tayshaun Prince and Kevin Martin actually scored efficiently for them last year. So, other than right now, the only guys, if you look at what happened last year, the only efficient scorers this team has is Towns and LaVine. Everybody else is subpar.
It's true.
So, I mean, I guess Jang is actually technically efficient because all he does is dunk.
Muhammad's okay.
He's not bad.
He can't play defense.
No, he's not interested in playing defense. He's not even so can't. I bet he's
not going to play under Thibodeau if he can't play defense.
Right. So, I don't know. I think this is a team that's ripe for, at some point, they're going to make a move this season because Thibodeau is going to be unhappy with the way certain of them playing.
I think that would be a bad idea.
I think it's a terrible idea, but I bet it's going
to
happen.
Next season, they just are going to have a crap load of cap space to add to this already young, like they have a lot of young, good young players. So.
Yep. So two questions then I got for you.
Okay.
If I told you that they won next season with essentially the same starting five, except Chris Dunn, Ricky Rubio, you're not sure which one, but one of them's there. They're both there, okay? One of them's a six man.
Okay.
They won 50 games next year. So Towns is obviously the star. Who are you picking as the second star for this team?
Ooh. I think it's still Wiggins because I don't think Levine's going to – I really like Levine, but I don't think he's going to make that big a jump quite yet. And I don't see Chris Dunn coming in and being that guy yet. Rubio is who he is at this point. Yeah, I'm going to stick with that. I think it's still going to be Wiggins.
I am 100% riding with Chris Dunn.
Really?
Yeah, because...
I mean, I'm a big fan of Chris Dunn.
Zach LaVine has the potential to be a real shooter.
Yeah.
And, like, be a really nice offensive piece for this team. But... He doesn't draw free throws now. He's not going to become a suddenly amazing, great free throw drawer. Wiggins draws free throws, but we've already seen he doesn't do anything else, and he doesn't shoot well. Dunn has the ability that he can come in and be the offensive force that draws free throws, creates havoc, plays hard-nosed defense, and can possibly be a shooter. I think he has the best chance to be the complete package as a second star next to Towns.
I agree.
More than any of the other guys.
I definitely agree that he's the one with the potential to be the guy on both ends of the court. I just don't see him doing it his rookie year.
Okay.
That's me.
All right. And then we have to play the game.
Game.
Second highest paid player on this team.
Oh, this is a tough one.
And they did bring in some guys this year, so. And actually, I wonder if you
How
even know
the net making. Paid. Oh wait, are we counting Pekovic?
Yeah, Pekovic is still on the books.
Give me Pekovic then.
You want Pekovic?
Or wait, oh god, I can't choose. No, I'm switching to Rubio. Give me Rubio.
Rubio.
Final answer.
Rubio is the highest paid player.
Damn it.
$13,400,000. Pekovic, you were correct. You should have trusted your gut. $12 million a year for Pekovic. And then he's making $8
million.
Really? Yep, and Cole Aldridge is sliding in just under him as number four. And everybody else is making like $6 million or less.
Yeah, well, everyone else is like a
rookie
backup contract. Or a rookie.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So now we're going to move on to the one team that – and so I want to say this. Like, this is probably – other than the fact that I'm going to watch Southwest because I love my team, this is probably the most interesting division because the Nuggets could turn into something pretty fun. The Timberwolves could turn into something pretty annoying. Mm-hmm. You notice the difference there. The Thunder, which we're about to talk about, like, they're just fascinating to see what happens with the Thunder. The Portland Trailblazers were pretty interesting last year, and it'll be interesting to see what happens after their changes. And the Jazz are going to be, like, all of these teams are intriguing. Like, you can't really be 100% certain where they're going to land on any of them. So, it's an interesting division. Oklahoma City Thunder. In case you guys missed it, you might not have heard about this, but they did lose a guy from their team.
Who?
This offseason.
Ibaka.
Yes, they traded Serge Ibaka, and they didn't sign Deion Waiters.
Yes.
So clearly, those two players are going to really make a major difference to this team. And Kevin Durant went to the Golden State Warriors. Screw those guys.
Yeah.
I have a lot of hatred all of a sudden.
No, I really do not like a lot of teams.
It's kind of sad. I used to not have, like, strong feelings about a lot of teams. I guess the more I watch, the more I get resentful.
I think it's good to have strong feelings.
Okay, that's probably true, because those games when my team loses, they make me feel more dark and despaired. Anyways, let's not talk about that. All right, so what they actually did was they brought in So, like I said before, Durant left, Ibaka was traded,
yes.
I'm now having a mind blank about the third player who left that was important.
Deion
Waiters. Yes. Right? And important is here that he played,
he played a big role for them last year.
Right.
I had a fantasy, well, I guess it was a fantasy, before the Ibaka trade for Oladipo that if they lost Durant and Deion Waiters, they could be a spot to dump Tyreek for because, he's not Deion Waiters. They're different players, but he could play a similar role for them. And it would clear space for them for next summer. But now that they have Victor Oladipo, they have too many guards. You can't really shoot. So, I thought we could do something. We could work out something like Kyle Singler because he's got like 4 years left.
Oh God, I would
it's
not.
It's like a small,
$5 million.
He played pretty well his first 2 years in the league, and then he just, I don't know what happened when he went to Oklahoma, because in Detroit, he was okay.
He's okay.
He was, because
he's 28 already.
Hmm?
Can you believe he's 28 already?
He was like a 3 or 4 year college guy.
Yeah. So outside of Kyle Singler, they brought in, and this is why I said Alex, to replace the many players they shipped out, they brought in Alex, and I'm going to completely butcher his name, Abrines or something like that, from Europe. He is an experienced European player. He's 23 years old. He played for some pretty good teams in Spain. They also brought in Ersan Ilyasova in the trade that sent out Ibaka.
Mm-hmm.
They signed Joffrey Laverne, they traded for Joffrey Laverne from the Nuggets to provide backup center minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They lost Mitch McGarry to a 15 games worth of drug suspensions,
mm-hmm.
which I guess Mitch McGarry should probably not expect to have his rookie contract extended.
No.
It's like, how dumb is that?
Really dumb.
They brought in Victor Oladipo.
Mm-hmm.
And they have now Domantas Sabonis, who was one of my favorites in this draft. They got him as part of the Ibaka trade. So there's actually a significant change to this team. So the projected starting lineup is Russell Westbrook, Victor Oladipo, Ersan Ilyasova, Steven Adams, and an unknown player at small forward. I don't know if it'd be Kyle Singler or Andre Robertson, or Alex Abrines.
I don't know.
I really have no idea. That's their options. Is Singler? I guess Hustis. They have Hustis, who they drafted 3 years ago, sent right to the D League. He came up and he's been not great. Anthony Morrow's on the team, so Morrow's a choice, but they don't seem to like him.
Well, they're going to need him because he's one of the only guys who can shoot.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, Ilyasova will hopefully stretch the floor a little bit.
People throw that up. He's a stretch forward. He's perfect. Fits in there. Whatever. He's okay.
Yeah. So, like, if anything, they are kind of – they're pretty weak on the wings now. And that's not surprising. A lot of teams are. They have Westbrook at point guard with Cameron Payne as a great backup for him. They have Oladipo at shooting guard. Plus some options at shooting a shooting guard, which aren't great. They have no small forward really to speak of. Then they have Ersan Ilyasova, and then they've got Sabonis and Nick Collison and Enes Kanter and Joffrey Laverne and Steven Adams.
Yes.
Like, their front court is loaded.
Yes.
So, it's very interesting to see how this team will turn out. When Westbrook was playing without Durant the previous season, he was using 40% of his team's.
Yeah,
shots like that. That's like when Kobe Bryant went nuts for that one season and scored 35 points per game back in like 2006, I think it was. He was using something like 37% of his team.
Yeah.
So we'll see if this happens again. If it does, it's not a good thing.
No. And people, I mean, it'll be really like Westbrook in himself will be fun to watch. I don't like everybody putting him as, like, the second-best point guard in the league and, like, an MVP candidate because a lot of the stuff he does hurts his team. Like, he individually is very exciting. The stats he puts up are freaking crazy. But Is it good basketball? Is it good for the team? That's up for debate. There's a couple things out there recently about how he's actually not that great at finishing at the rim. I mean, not that great as in, like, not as good as people say. He's still actually pretty good at it. And, like, you know, this is going to be interesting. I want to ask you, would you start Cantor simply because of his offensive rebounding? If you have Westbrook and Oladipo, do you start Adams and Cantor next to each other and just, you know, crash the hell off the offensive boards?
I think with this particular team, you have to start Cantor.
Yeah.
Like, their small forward is obscene.
There isn't one, really.
Right. So you really, like, their option really is Andre Robinson. Roberson. I can speak words.
I think it's Roberson.
So their option really is have either Roberson come in, because Oladipo can't play small forward. He's too small.
No.
Like, he is small for a shooting guard. So Roberson can play that small forward role. He can't really shoot that well, but whatever. Like, play him there.
Yeah.
And have Ilyasova or have Roberson be your backup shooting guard, because you have no real backup shooting guard. And roll with Adams Cantor as your bigs, and maybe have Ilyasova roll at small forward.
Right.
I those are really your options. Like, they're just basically going to have to fill that hole. They're having the same issue we did when we have Ryan Anderson and Anthony Davis as big playing at power forward.
Yeah.
Probably, maybe if you could figure out a way to make Ryan Anderson a small forward in that situation, it might be helpful, but probably not.
Yeah.
They have the same issues.
Yeah.
I will say this about Russell Westbrook. I said this probably a couple of years ago. To me, Russell Westbrook is the answer to the question, what if Allen Iverson had prototypical point guard measurements?
Hmm.
That's how I've always felt about Westbrook. Like, Iverson had all of the attacking talents in the world and was maybe not a high skill shooting, like a shooter, but what he did out there reminds me a lot of what Russell Westbrook does out there.
Hmm.
And except Westbrook is bigger, but Westbrook has been limited every year by the fact he's been playing next to Durant. And he always knew that Durant was his equal or better in a lot of things.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist anymore. So it would not shock me if we saw an Iverson-esque year out of Westbrook.
No, but he's a popular pick for MVP just because of the raw stats he's going to put up. Because, like you said, he's just going to dominate the ball and attack. So
if I told you that they won 50 games this season, would that shock you?
It wouldn't shock me, but I would be a little bit surprised. I'd put them more at like 45.
Okay. You still think that they're definitely a 45 winner, though?
Not definitely. Like, they could be, like, they could be 50. They could be 40. You know, I have no idea how good that defense is going to be.
Right.
If you're starting Cantor, how he showed last year in the playoffs that he could at least be passable, but during the regular season he was not. And bench, the depth on the wings, they got issues, but they also have a lot of things that no one else has. It could be, I don't know, this team is a freaking enigma. They're definitely going to be entertaining, I'll say that.
I think both teams, like, when this team plays anyone, there's just going to be matchup nightmares everywhere
on
the court.
Oh, yeah.
It's like either Westbrook's going to be a matchup nightmare, but whoever's playing at power forward or small forward on the other team is going to be a matchup nightmare the other way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am going actually with 49 wins for the team.
Okay.
I think that they will. I mean, I think Abrines will probably eventually end up in that small forward position after he adjusts to the league.
Yeah.
And be at least enough of a shooter and a passer that they'll be able to fill the hole adequately. Or if that doesn't work out, they'll make a trade. They will move something.
They do have things they can move to. So it's,
yes. Yep. Maybe they'll find somebody who likes Mitch McGarry's pop.
Yeah, sure. And, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
All right. So here's the game.
Okay.
Second highest paid player. On the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Well, this one's easy. Because Westbrook's number one and Kanter got that really big contract, so it's Kanter, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no, there wasn't even a way I could, like, finagle this to make it interesting.
No.
Okay, let's make it interesting, sort of.
Okay.
Third most, third highest paid.
Oh. Okay.
Even that, like, if I go down the list, it's kind of...
Is Oladipo still on his rookie contract?
Yes.
So I'm not going to pick him. Oh, God. Ilyasova.
Yes.
Got it. Yes. Money.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of crazy. They have a lot of money tied up in Westbrook and Kanter, and then everybody else is under $10 million.
Well, they're going to have to extend, or they're going to have to pay Steven Adams next summer? Next summer.
And Oladipo.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Their money is going to be tied up very quickly.
Yes. Maybe they could move Kanter then. I think Kanter would be a good guy to move. Although, he's... I don't know.
I don't know. Would you move Kanter? Like, so Kanter, he basically... He was butchered for his defense. And rightfully so, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He's passable. He's an amazing offensive rebounder. He's a very efficient scorer around the basket.
He was good for Oklahoma last year.
Yeah, so, for... Like, if you had the opportunity to get Enes Kanter on a $17 million a year contract, age 24 to 27, essentially, do you want Enes Kanter?
Maybe.
I would.
Yeah. I wouldn't be opposed to it. It's not like he's... Like, if, he would probably be the second best big on our team, right? He's better than Oshik.
Well, I don't know. Do you think Terrence Jones is better than... no, sorry.
Terrence Jones has potential.
I gotta say, it has been entertaining on Twitter watching people fantasize about the idea of Terrence Jones and Lance Stephenson returning to their glory days for this team.
Oh, my God.
And suddenly, like that is so ridiculously unlikely.
Let people have their dreams, okay?
Oh. All right, so that's the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mm.
Portland Trailblazers. This is a team I hate.
Yep.
Everybody knows this.
Yep.
They basically went out and they signed Evan Turner because any chance you have a, have an opportunity to give Evan Turner $17-18 million a year.
Yeah.
Let me just
say I liked and wanted us to get Evan Turner, but not for that. That's too much.
So in a vacuum, Evan Turner or Gerald Henderson, doesn't matter what their contracts are. Which player do you prefer?
Gerald Henderson.
Me too.
Gerald Henderson, underrated. He is really athletic and can guard in like 1-3. And I know at times last season, I think he was checking like fours for them. He's a good player. He can't really create for others, but he can create his own shot pretty efficiently. He is a monster in transition. I like Gerald Henderson.
I do too. I kind of hope the Pelicans would go after him, but
he's one of those guys that, you know, he's gonna, you know, he might be able to help you, but he's gonna limit your like what you can do.
Yeah.
Because he's gonna have the ball in his hands, and he is a good off-ball player, but he cannot shoot. And that's the reason I didn't think he was going to get as much as other wings. I really did not, and he did.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good contract.
So basically what they did was they let Gerald Henderson and a bunch of nothing they care about walk out the door.
Yes.
Like they let Gerald Henderson go. The only other people who played any sort of significant minutes for them, I guess Brian Roberts.
Mm.
Played like 30 games, I think it was, for them.
They basically have set their team for the next couple years.
Right.
Like they're going to have to pay McCollum and Plumlee.
Well, they gave McCollum a massive contract.
Oh, right. They did that. So then they're going to, yeah, they're already basically, like, they're set. They're not really going to have money to give out anymore.
You're going to have a fun time guessing at who the second highest player paid player on this team is.
Oh, this will be a good one.
Because... So this is the other side of the coin. That's who they let go. They basically let go nobody that really mattered. Brian Roberts, Chris Kamen.
Right.
And I think Kamen might – no, Kamen's gone. So and basically they brought in Festus Ezeli, who's coming from Golden State. They had a, Golden State had to renounce Ezeli to get Durant. Mm-hmm. Then they basically brought their draft pick and Jake Layman. Mm-hmm. They have Shabazz Napier now, and they signed Evan Turner to a big contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's it.
They have paid Allen Crabbe a huge amount of money because Brooklyn gave them a gigantic offer. They paid Myers Leonard. That was one of the funnier contracts of the season because they offered him an extension at the end of last season. He turned it down, thinking his play the last season, or at the beginning of last season, they offered him an extension.
Yeah.
He thought his play would be great next season. He'd get more money. His play was Myers Leonard-ish.
Yes.
And so they came back, and his agent managed to get them to give him the exact same contract plus $1. So that he could say, I got him a bigger offer than last
year. Do you think they just pulled a dollar out, like, of their pocket when he signed?
Put it out on the table.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yep. And then they brought back Maurice Harkless for a bunch of money. Like, not a bad contract, but a bunch of money.
He's still, like, he's been around for 3 or 4 years. Like, he's 23. Still very young, and he's not bad. Al Farouq Aminu, cheap. Very good for them last year.
Yeah.
Very good. I think they're expecting him to come back and be the same. I'm not sure that's a good expectation, but we'll see what happens.
So here is their projected starting lineup, at least my projected starting lineup for them. Dame Lillard, McCollum, Evan Turner, Aminu, and Ezeli.
I think
Azili's good enough that when he's healthy, he's the best center they have.
Okay, so you think they immediately start Turner and then Ezeli? Huh.
Yep.
See, Plumlee got killed in the playoffs against Golden State, but I think he's going to start over Ezeli for now. Isn't Ezeli hurt?
Ezeli's not. I don't think he's hurt right now. Oh. No, I think he's back from the injury.
Okay.
So basically, but as their second string, they have really no point guard. This is one thing that's kind of interesting about them.
Yeah.
Like, they have Napier,
right,
who was not good. Right. So basically, what they did last year was they actually had Lillard and McCollum start next to each other, and then Lillard would go to the bench, and McCollum would run the offense.
This is why I think Turner's going to come off the bench.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they'll bring him off the bench to handle the ball off the bat.
Well, if that happens, is what you think Allen Crabbe is their starting small forward?
Yeah.
Because he's their backup wing.
Well,
along with nobody. Like, that's the thing.
They started Harkless on the wing for a little bit.
I guess Harkless is a possibility.
They have options, you know.
I forgot about Harkless. He didn't make it to my chart.
Yeah. He started, he started 14 games last season.
Yeah. That's actually better than I thought it was.
Yep.
I was looking at their wing depth, and I wasn't too impressed with it, which is why I had Turner starting.
Yeah.
But they have Crabbe, they have Harkless. Harkless could start, Turner off the bench, maybe?
Maybe.
I think Turner makes the kind of money that he'd probably end up having to start.
I guess. I really don't know.
A Crabbe-Harkless wing backup is pretty decent.
Yeah.
Especially if you got to, because you have to play them long minutes because CJ McCollum's got to swing to the point guard to suck up those roles. So that's pretty solid rotation. Aminu has Davis and Vonleh, who has been terrible since he was drafted.
He's still really, no, I don't think he's going to be anything.
He's pretty young, but you're right. Like, he fell completely out of the rotation.
Yeah, I don't think he's developed really.
And this is a rotation that Myers Leonard is in.
Yeah.
So it's not like this is a strong rotation.
No. I don't think he's, I mean, he's 20. Okay, he's 20 years old. I don't think he's, I mean, he'll stick around for a year or two, but if he doesn't do something this year, I think he's a pretty obvious choice to just fall out.
So they're basically, their big man rotation is Aminu, Plumlee, Ezeli, Leonard, and Davis. That's a strong Ed Davis.
Ed Davis is a, underrated. I think he's a good guy.
It's a strong big man rotation. Yeah. I would not be upset with having that rotation myself.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty solid team. I hate them. Screw those guys.
I don't like them, and I can't say it because they paid their dues with their injuries with Brandon Roy, Greg Oden, so many things out throughout their history. But geez, man, they're getting it back tenfold. Damian Lillard, I think, missed 6 games last year, and that's like the first time he missed games like yeah. that. And then that year they when they had like Wesley Matthews and Batum and Aldridge, like their starting lineup missed no games, and then they're getting it all back. But God, I just want us to be healthy so bad. But anyway,
so here's a question for you.
Yes.
They won 44 games last year.
Yes.
They basically dumped nothing and brought in essentially Evan Turner to the rotation and are returning the same and Azili.
Yes.
Are those two guys enough to push them to a 50 game? Or do you think that there's somebody on this team who will also develop significantly enough that will propel them 3 or 4 games up the standings?
Like, I think Alan Crabb could develop a little bit. I think Alfred Camino is like a choice that could regress a little bit. I mean, CJ McCollum was like one of the best mid-range shooters in the league, and those were all contested jumpers. Him and Lillard like live off hitting contested jumpers.
Lillard is 26. McCollum's 25.
Yes.
Crabb, I thought he was actually older. He's 24.
Yeah, he's young. So I mean, I don't think they're going to win any less games than they won this year. I'll say that. They could get to 50 if things break right. If things break right.
Yeah, they feel like they have enough people that they're going to be able to absorb any sort of injury they do have, though.
Yeah.
Like, let's say CJ McCollum misses 30 games. Like, that's bad for them, but they still have a pretty solid rotation there.
Yeah.
Like, if let's say Ed Davis hurts himself or Alfred Camino hurts himself, like, you're not losing huge amounts by replacing them with their backup.
Right.
So it is a classic 90s Paul Allen team where he just basically went out and said, buy whatever players you want, get them on my team. If it costs a lot of money, I don't care. Get whatever depth you want. And those old Trailblazers teams used to just have depth coming out of every orifice.
Oh, yeah. It's all about Lillard. It's all about Lillard. He is fantastic. I love Lillard. We were that close game. But,
we weren't that close.
No, we weren't really close at all. But,
four picks away.
No.
But Austin Rivers is a good consolation prize.
God. Sure. Whatever.
All right.
But anything around him, he's a fantastic leader. He's like a perfect person to build your organization around. He's somebody people want to play with. Like, they aren't going to lose. As long as he plays, like, 70 or more games, like, they're going to win, like, around 45 games.
So, their point differential last year puts them as a 46-win team.
Mm-hmm.
I am keeping them in the exact same spot.
Okay.
I really honestly believe that Evan Turner is actually a little bit of a downgrade. I think Festus Ezeli is a little bit of an upgrade. And I think the guys on this team, a couple of them will regress a little bit, and some of them will improve a little bit, and they basically are the same team.
I agree. I think, I basically completely agree.
So, 46 wins for the Portland Trailblazers. Who is their second highest paid player?
So, McCollum kicks in next year, right?
That is correct.
So not McCollum. Okay. Not Mason Plumlee. Let's see. Oh, Turn got a lot of money. Alan Crabb got a lot of money. Who got more money? I don't remember.
Myers Leonard got a lot of money, too.
Oh, Myers. Did he? What's a lot? He didn't get as much as Turner and Crabb.
That's true.
Oh, that's true.
Harkless got a lot of money.
Not as much as Turner. It's either Turner or Crabb. I know it's either Turner or Crabb. I want to say Crabb because I know Brooklyn shelled out for him more than Turner, but Turner got a lot of money. Crabb? Is it Crabb?
It's Crabb. So Crabb's total deal is actually a little less than Evan Turner's total deal, but they front-loaded Crabb to make him as unpalatable as possible.
So actually I was wrong and Crabb got technically less and I just got lucky. Okay, I'll take it. Better lucky than that.
This coming season, Crabbe will make more money than Evan Turner.
I'll take it.
And then the season afterwards, they're about the same, and then Crabbe falls off. Yeah,
technically correct is the best correct.
Yeah. But this is a team, like, it's kind of funny. Like, we talked about the Oklahoma City Thunder. They have two big contracts and then a bunch of, like, literally $6 million or $2 million or $3 million contracts.
They got a lot of in between.
Like, listen, Aminu is almost $8 million. Crabbe's 18.5. Ed Davis is basically 6.6. Azili is 7.4. Maurice Harkless is 9. Myers Leonard is 9. Dame Lillard's 24. CJ's at 3, but he'll be at 20 next year. And Evan Turner's at 16. It's just huge, man.
Yes,
they're huge. Gobs of money.
They've set their team.
Yes.
Yes.
In 3 years, is there any chance that this team is contending for a championship?
No. Yes, no. 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 3 years. I don't know. So much can change in 3 years.
That's true.
3 years ago, I wouldn't have picked Golden State.
That's very true.
There you go.
All right, we'll move to the last team, Utah Jazz. This is the team that everybody is hot and bothered about more than any other team, I feels like, in the league. They feel like this one's going to make the biggest jump.
People really like this team.
They really like this team. So, essentially, they jettisoned everybody's favorite player, Trey Burke. Trevor Booker walked out that door. And Tibor Pleiss, who barely played at all for them, and Elijah Millsap, who played a little bit for them. And Shelvin Mack, who they traded for the last quarter of the season because they thought Trey Burke was garbage.
Atlanta?
Yeah.
He did well for them, I think, if I remember.
He did. He played Wells relative. Yeah. Compared to, like, say, Trey Burke.
Yeah. Trey Burke was
bad.
Yeah. And people still... So, I'm glad we didn't settle for Burke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they pushed all those guys out the door. And instead, they have brought in George Hill from the Pacers for basically their draft pick. They brought in Joe Johnson because they had some cap space, so they spent it on Joe Johnson for, I think he's going to make them, I can't tell you because that will actually play into the possible thing, but he's making a nice size contract. And they are welcoming Dante Exum and Alec Burks back from injury from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Exum missed the entire season, and Burks missed the majority of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So they also traded for Boris Diaw from the Spurs. So, and this is actually, of all the teams I've looked at, this team's depth feels the most amazing to me. So I'm going to rattle through this. My projected starters for them, George Hill, Rodney Hood, Gordon Hayward, Derek Favors, Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
Nice starting five. Their backups are Dante Exum, Alec Burks, Joe Johnson, Trey Lyles, Boris Diaw, and they still have the immortal Jeff Withey and Joe Ingles, who wasn't bad for them, and Shelvin Mack off the bench. They have three guys in, like, third string that are could be reasonable NBA producers.
Yeah.
And, like, Raul Neto, who was a rookie for them last year, started 40 games. He wasn't awful. He wasn't great, but he was decent.
Yeah.
I haven't even mentioned him. This is a deep team.
I think their front court is not as deep as, like, so if, like, Gobert got hurt, they'd be in trouble. Like, Favors can play center.
What about Withey?
Oh, come on.
Well, honestly, like, so this is where I actually disagree with you, because, like, so the reality is you need three pretty good players and one body.
Yes.
And they have Favors, Gobert, and Trey Lyles. Or actually, probably Favors, Gobert, and Diaw, with Lyles being the
best. Well, that's the thing.
I
think Diaw post Spurs is.
You think
he's kind of done, though. I mean, I think he would be a good veteran. Like, he can. I think he could play. He could definitely play. But I don't see him contributing more than, like, that vet who can make smart plays, you know?
Okay. Well, but here's the other thing I was thinking. Joe Johnson?
Yeah.
I think he could do, like, a Paul Pierce job at power forward at this point.
Really?
I really feel that way about Joe Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling, like, let's say Gobert misses, like, last year I think he missed around 20 games.
Yeah.
So he misses 20 games. Favors slides to power forward. They probably start Trey Lyles and play him. Like, maybe he develops this year a little more. Maybe he was pretty solid last year as a rookie.
He was.
So Trey Lyles plays minutes, and then you have Joe Johnson and Boris Diaw and Withy giving you backup minutes. That's not a disaster.
It's not.
It's not like they have, you know, say, a Ginsa as a backup player.
or
Dante Cunningham.
I like Dante.
As
a person.
But, like, Alec Burks was their starting shooting guard for a couple of years. He's been hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And now Rodney Hood is a better option than Burks. Yeah. So they have Burks as a luxury. Dante Exum, who knows what that guy's going to give them? But he's a luxury because they have George Hill.
Exactly.
So whatever he gives them is just bonus.
Yeah.
And Hayward is still probably, you know, top four as a small forward in this league.
Hayward's great.
So, like, this is a really deep team. I don't think it doesn't have any mega stars, but it doesn't matter because this, like, at any one time, this is one of those rare teams that if Derek Favors scored 30 points against you, you're not surprised. If Gordon Hayward scored 30 points against you, you're not surprised. If Alec Burks came off the bench and scored 30 points against you, it's not surprising.
I'd be a little surprised.
I wouldn't, because okay. Alec Burks at one point was averaging 18 points a game in this league. So putting up 30? Like Rodney Hood came up, like if Rodney Hood scored 30 points against you because he got hot shooting one night. Like these are all possibilities. So like even if you come up against them and you just absolutely shut down Gordon Hayward, you put your team into the kill Gordon Hayward mode, and like there's still other options that can take you. George Hill 2 seasons ago, like averaged 16 points a game as a starting point guard for his team. He's a perfectly capable scorer.
Let's see. I'm trying to find where did they rank on offense last year.
I forget where exactly. I can find out really quickly though. Just jump in, sabotage me like
Basketball that. References changed their website. It's so much better, but it's not right where it used to be.
Utah Jazz won 40 games last season, and they ranked exactly 16th offensively and 7th defensively.
Okay. Where is the jump offensively coming from?
The jump offensively is coming from Dante Exum and George Hill.
Don't see it.
So do you think that George Hill is not an offensive upgrade over Trey Burke or Shelvin Mack?
He is.
George Hill. He's good.
He's okay.
Like, and you don't think that Alec Burks coming off the bench is better than Chris Johnson?
He is.
So?
I they're like a popular pick to win like 50.
And you don't want a popular pick.
I don't like popular picks.
Especially since they're one of the teams I don't like because at one point people actually claimed that Deron Williams is as good as Chris Paul.
Yeah, screw that talk.
Hey, all you people, you're stupid.
They're very stupid.
And guess what? You were stupid when you were saying it, too. Yeah,
that was a dumb argument.
Chris Paul is an all-time point guard.
Chris Paul is literally... I want Chris Paul. No.
That's a little creepy.
No. I just... Like, it was there. Like, they should have been better than 40 wins last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in my opinion. And they weren't for... whatever reason, and they do have a lot of good pieces. Like everyone, when everyone starts hopping on that, I think it's a red flag, like just for me to look back at it. And I don't see them being more than like they're not gonna be a top 10 offense. I don't see that. They're still gonna be defensively like monsters, but it's, I can't, like I they're gonna make the playoffs in my opinion, but they're not gonna be like, in my opinion, I don't think they're going to be a 55-win team. Like, I don't think they're going to be a home-court team, which a lot of people are saying, and I just don't see it.
Let's play best-case, worst-case for these guys then.
Okay.
Okay? So, worst-case is probably Diaw's done. Joe Johnson's done. because both of those guys are old.
Mm-hmm.
George Hill doesn't fit in particularly well with next to Hayward and Hood.
Nothing.
What's that?
Like Dante Exum could be nothing.
Right, because he was, as a rookie, defensively he was good, but offensively he was awful.
Yes.
Alec Burks continues to be injured.
Mm-hmm. I think worst case scenario, they are what they were last year.
Right.
And I think that's a very real possibility for this team. You know.
I just don't find it likely that all those things are going to happen.
No, I don't either. But
so I think I actually do believe that they've built enough depth here. Like I'm
envious of the team they have. I'll say that.
I'm giving them 52 wins.
I
don't want to. I don't want them to have 52.
Okay.
Wins.
I'm gonna give them. Screw them. 48.
You're so harsh.
I'm not giving you 50.
So harsh.
We can't win 50.
You should give them 49 so you could tantalize them with 50.
I was going to say that, but then I was like, no, even worse. They're going to be at 48 wins with two games to go, and they're going to lose the last two games.
Okay.
Jerks.
That's great. All right, so game. Second highest paid player on the Utah Jazz.
This one I have no idea. I really don't. Like, I know Gordon Hayward is their highest paid player, but I honestly, like, I have no idea how much Gobert makes.
Well, Gobert's still on a rookie
contract, but, like,
yeah. So, veteran-wise, they have Dia, they have Burks, they have Favors, they have Joe Johnson, they have George Hill. All of those guys would have a contract given to them that was reasonable size.
I'm pretty sure Hill is like on a flat $8 million. Like that one, that sounds familiar to me.
You're right, by the way.
Oh, nice. But that could honestly be the second highest. No, no way. They have to have, let's see, Favors, Hayward. Let's see. Okay, so we're just on that. Dion.
There's $50,000 difference. And this is, of course, what's just reported, so it may actually be wrong, but based on this website I'm looking at, there's $50,000 difference between the second and the third highest paid player.
Man. That's tough. Like, where's Alec Burke at? Where's Burks?
He got a nice extension.
He did. Not going to be Hill. It can't be Hill. I'm going to go Burks. I'm going to guess Burks.
Okay. Derek Favors. Derek Favors at $11,050,000. Joe Johnson is at $11 million.
Joe Johnson's at 11.
Yeah, he got $22 million for 2 years.
Is it a 1+1 or is it he's got 2 years?
I believe it's flat. I think it's player option.
Nice. That's a nice contract for him. Yeah, I've always
for a 35-year-old guy.
Always liked Joe Johnson.
He has made a lot of money in his
career. He has made a lot of money. He's very clutch. He's a shot maker. That's about it. But I like Joe Johnson. For some reason, I've just always liked his game.
Alec Burks is clocking in at $10 million.
Ah, so I wasn't far off.
Yeah, I think he got a 440
okay.
when he got this extension. And then George Hill's at 8, like you said. Diaz at 7.
Mm.
And then everybody else is making peanuts.
Yeah.
Gobert, I think, is like $2 million.
Like, they're a good team. Don't get me wrong. Like, I like their team. I don't see them winning 55 games. I don't see them winning home court.
They're getting home court.
You think so?
I think they're the fourth best team in the West.
Let's see. Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
Spurs.
Yep.
Clippers.
Yep.
And then Utah.
Yep.
Ooh. Okay. Where did Memphis fall for you?
I think Memphis is... I'm not as sold on Memphis as other people are.
Yep.
I gave the Memphis Grizzlies, I believe, in our preview, like 38 wins.
Yeah, and them in Dallas, I think 2 years ago, I was like, they're going to fall off before the Spurs do. Because, you know, there was that time where everybody was like, all right, the Spurs are too old, and now nobody says it because no one wants to be wrong.
right.
But, like, at some point, Dallas and Memphis aren't going to make the playoffs. Like, they had their run, I think, and then, I don't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago I wrote about it, but... Yeah, I think I think that that contract they have Conley is basically the end of them trying to compete for a championship. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be competing anytime soon.
No.
Again. So, that's the entire Western Conference. We talked Lance Stevenson. We talked Drew Holiday. Is there anything else you wanted to chat about? Like, the team has its media day coming up in a week.
It's true.
Because they play games overseas, so they're starting before them and two other teams, I believe, are starting before everybody else.
Did that? Is that? Is there any reason for that? Is it like the China thing? Is it the? Because
I'm not sure why the Pelicans were selected. Honestly, usually there's some sort of attachment to a team to a particular region that they're traveling to.
Yeah.
But why are the Pelicans? I guess the Pelicans. No, the Pelicans don't have anybody that they've gotten from China, so I'm not really sure. Maybe Anthony Davis is very popular there, and I don't know about it.
Maybe.
Wouldn't be shocking.
They want to get us back on the give New Orleans more attention because we got our All-Star game. There you go.
Right. So. Well, you know, it is true that anybody who played next to Yao Ming carries a lot of popularity with him.
It's true.
Maybe because Terrence Jones played after Yao Ming.
Anybody who plays next to Yao Ming. We don't have anybody who played next to Yao Ming, but
yeah. We had a guy who kind of wore the same uniform at one point.
There you go.
All right, so thanks, everyone, for listening to In the Know, and we'll actually be rattling off a couple more of these a little bit later in the week.